God, grant that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you and speak of your love for all the world. Amen. Jerusalem was always tense and crowded during the Passover festival. The streets teemed with pilgrims who had come from all over Israel and far beyond to mark the Passover, to remember God's mighty acts in leading the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt to freedom. Pilgrims rubbed shoulders in the streets with soldiers who had also come to the city for the Passover feast, but not to remember God's mighty acts in leading the people to freedom, but to remind the people of the mighty force of the Roman Empire, to remind them who was in charge in Jerusalem that day. Tensions always rose high around the time of Passover, and it seems that this time, in the last days of Jesus' life, the tension may have been even higher than usual for some. After the raising of Lazarus, the religious leaders of Jerusalem had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. So I wonder if Mary, his mother, begged him not to go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast that year, or his brothers and sisters or his disciples said maybe he should just lay low for a while. But Jesus' hour had come, he knew, and so he went, as he had every year, for the Passover feast. He traveled first to Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, where his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, and he stayed with them for a night. Then he walked over the hill, the Mount of Olives, past the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would later pray that week, and into the city. Every Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus entering into the city in this way. We enter into the story ourselves, waving palm branches and singing hosannas, as the crowd did that day. All four of the Gospels tell the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on this Passover. But John's story that we hear this morning is a little bit different. In the other Gospels, Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him to find a donkey for him to ride. And as Jesus enters the city, at least at first, it is many of those who came with him into the city who lay down their cloaks in his path and wave branches. The parade seems more planned in the other gospel stories, more like a deliberate, provocative act of Jesus giving notice to the religious leaders in the city that he has arrived and he is unafraid, that in him a new rule of God's mercy and justice has arrived and will not be turned aside. But in John's story, it's the crowds who start the commotion. They had heard about the raising of Lazarus, and when they hear that Jesus is coming into the city, they want to see this one who had raised him up. So the crowds take branches of palm trees, signs of victory and triumph, and they go out to meet Jesus, shouting their hosannas. Jesus doesn't try to avoid the crowds who come to see him. He doesn't ignore them or try to silence them. We've seen a scene something like this before. After the feeding of the 5,000, many who were there tried to make Jesus their king, but he slipped away then and continued on his way, continued his work of teaching and healing those he found on his way and those who came to him. Once again, on the eve of this Passover feast, as Jesus enters the city, another crowd seeks to make him a king, to make him the kind of Messiah that they have been looking for. And Jesus doesn't slip away this time. He knows his hour has come. But he answers their hosannas and their palm branches with his own symbol. They're speaking in symbols, the crowd is, and Jesus knows what they mean. He knows what they want to see. He answers them with his own symbol. He finds a young donkey to ride, recalling the words of the prophet Zechariah, "Your king comes to you humble and riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace from sea to the ends of the earth. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, not a horse, an animal of power and war, but a donkey, a humble animal and a symbol of peace. Come and see, Jesus said to the first disciples. Come and see. Today we hear the story of many who come to see Jesus, who want to see him, but they often aren't able or willing to see Jesus, really, the gift of new life he brings, to follow his way and enter the kingdom of God he announces. The religious leaders mutter, angry and afraid, look, all the world has gone after him. Yet even as they speak of the world, they mean only the world of people they know, their people under their rule. But Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And Jesus meant all of it, the whole world, all of God's good creation. Come and see, Jesus said. In today's story, we hear about some Greeks who come to Jerusalem to worship at the festival, and they come to find Jesus, asking to see him. And Jesus says, come and see. Look for me as a seed fallen into the earth, dying in order to bear fruit. Look for me in those who suffer, in those who are lonely and abandoned, in those who despair, in places where there seems no hope for life. Look for me there, and see me with you in every sorrow and fear so you are never alone. See new life rising up out of these places of death. Come and see. It was maybe not the answer the Greeks were expecting, as Jesus was not the Messiah people were expecting, and refused to be the king they wanted to make in the image of their fears and desires. The story tells us the disciples did not understand these things at first. Come and see, Jesus called to them, and they followed. They wanted to see, but they so often could not. It was the woman Jesus met at a well, a woman, a Samaritan woman, foreign and religiously suspect, not one of the disciples who first really saw Jesus in the Gospel of John, who saw him as God's Holy One, the Messiah, and she then ran to tell her neighbors, come and see. Every Palm Sunday, we remember and enact Jesus' entry into Jerusalem in the last week of his life. We take on the role of the crowds who had heard about Jesus and wanted to see him. We want to see Jesus, and Jesus calls to us, come and see. But do we know where to look? Are we willing to see Jesus? Or are we only able and willing to see God as we want to see? The God who comes as a conquering hero answering violence with violence. The God who leaves us comfortable in our categories of who's in and who's out. Comfortable on our own side of the aisle or our own side of the tracks or our part of town. But Jesus will not simply be who we want him to be. Jesus invites us to come and see, but calls us to see him as he is, not as we want him to be. The story of Jesus is not a story of God swooping in to fix everything, taking away all risk and pain and grief. It is a story of incarnation and resurrection, of God coming near to us, entering our world to stand beside us in all our sorrow, and God's promise that there is more beyond our sorrow, that death is not the end of the story. As we mark the days in this Holy Week to come, that lead to our celebration of Jesus' resurrection. I pray that you may see Jesus. Come and see the one who calls us to give our lives away and receive all the life God has to give us in Christ. Jesus invites us to come and see, to let go of what we think we know, who we think we need to be, to let go of it all and really see and receive the gift of life in the kingdom of God's justice and love and mercy. Come and see. Amen.